Welcome to the big interview on today's edition of Money Life. I'm joined right now by Brad Evans, portfolio manager for Heartland Value Plus. You want to learn more about the Heartland Funds? Well, you're going to go to heartlandfunds.com on Twitter, at Heartland Funds. Brad Evans, good to chat with you again on Money Life.
Chuck, it's great to be with you again. Thank you for having me.
We are living through times where value has been struggling, and we keep expecting it to get better, but as an investment style, it's not getting better. It hasn't managed to sort of come around. And now we've got the market basically trending back towards record high levels and valuations being questionable. So as you're looking at the picture as a value investor, and I recognize value's in the eye of the beholder, and it may not be working on some person's way of defining it. It might be working on someone else's. But as you look at the market right now from a value perspective, what are you seeing?
Well, I think you made a very prescient comment there, Chuck, in the question is that how do you interpret value, right? So there are so many different ways to interpret it. So, you know, with our process here at Heartland and with the Value Plus Fund in particular, we are looking for undervalued small cap stocks that have great balance sheets, strong cash flows and free cash flows, and more often than not, they pay dividends. So, you know, we're looking for undervalued companies that have that free cash flow dynamic and the balance sheet to support the company through whatever challenges they might be facing. Because if they're undervalued, they're facing some type of challenge. But you know, we are. I got to tell you, I think you nailed it. I mean, growth continues to outperform value. Momentum stocks rule the day. It's kind of a paradoxical environment because not only are momentum stocks leading the market, but you also have low volatility stocks, which continue to be really the leaders of the marketplace as well. So you have this great disparity in the marketplace, and while the market kind of just levitates and with what seems to have been fairly low volatility this year, underneath the surface there is incredible volatility, and we're seeing moves in stocks that remind me very much of 2001 and are eerily reminiscent of 2007-2008. I mean, we are seeing moves in stocks to the upside and to the downside, which are just staggering. And so at the surface where the market is, it looks like there's not much volatility, but underneath there is incredible volatility. What I would tell you to answer your question directly is this is an incredible time to be an active value manager right now. We are finding opportunities across all sectors, across various industries. This is a marketplace that, as you know, is dominated by passive investors. And when you look at the small cap environment, I think this is an environment where this is a great environment to put together a 40 to 50 name portfolio that is really differentiated and has the characteristics I talked about in terms of being undervalued, strong cash flows, strong balance sheets where the companies pay dividends. So this is a good environment.
Okay. It's a good environment, but do you then have to say you'll buy whatever winds up being a relative value? If absolute value is difficult to achieve, and I think it is by anybody's definition right now, if absolute value is difficult to achieve, that means that, you know, that portfolio you're talking about, you're going to be fully invested regardless of market conditions, correct?
Correct.
And from that perspective, do you have to then change what you would normally expect to get? I mean, if we look at historical norms for small caps, we're normally thinking we're going to get about 12% because we know that large caps in general make about 10% over time. Small caps make 12%. Then you're talking about value. Okay, well, you can adjust a little bit for the value factor. But if we're looking at a small cap value environment where value is tough sledding, do we have to adjust our expectations for what we would expect, particularly from small caps?
For the market writ large, yes. I think that's probably an appropriate statement. It's hard to make a case for, after the last decade of a bull market, that, you know, the inefficiencies have built up and there's lots of opportunity within the market in its totality. But as I said before, beneath the surface, there is incredible volatility. And there are sectors that have bubble-like characteristics where stocks are significantly overvalued. Those would be bond proxy-like sectors in the marketplace, REITs and utilities. You might throw certain, you know, like insurance companies into that bucket as well to a certain degree. But there are certain sectors of the marketplace which have bubble-like characteristics and are richly overvalued. And there are other more cyclical sectors which, you know, energy is a four-letter word, obviously, but energy, industrials, materials, and in some areas of financials, namely the small cap banks, you can find copious amounts of value. So you really have to separate the wheat from the chaff in that respect.
When you look at the broad market conditions, and I realize that as a small cap value guy, you're normally looking bottoms up. How sanguine are you about, hey, things can continue for a while here. We can go on without a recession. The market and the economy are okay.
There's a lot to unpack there. So let me talk about two things. So as far as we're concerned with the Heartland Value Plus Fund, we don't think we need a value cycle to shine. We actually prefer that the dynamics that are currently plaguing the market, or at least active managers, the passive dynamic and the growth momentum stuff, actually, for our purposes, we hope that continues because it's creating greater inefficiencies in the marketplace, which we can exploit. Plus, it's not attracting additional capital into the space, and that's a positive. So we'd actually prefer that to continue. The status quo is actually good for us, and we
And the status quo, including where we're at in the interest rate picture and everything else. I mean, the interest rate picture, that might be one thing that could get small business to really kind of get a nice pickup. It's always supposed to be relatively good when we see rates being cut, but rates have been so low for so long. You know, if there's small businesses out there that hadn't taken advantage of them before, can they actually take advantage of them now?
So I do think there are some macro dynamics that are at play here, which are eerily reminiscent of 1998, where we had the Asian currency crisis, you had the Russian default, and the ruble collapse. If you look at the current environment we've been in the last 12 to 18 months, I mean, you've had Brexit, you've had the China trade dynamic, which has plagued the market, you've had, you know, worries about slowing growth. Just pick your poison. There's a number of geopolitical things that are overhanging the market, the Middle East, Syria, what have you. And I do think that a lot of those things are starting to actually come to some finality where that overhang of the market is, that wall of worry, call it, is starting to dissipate. And as you appropriately mentioned, you've got the Fed globally, not only the Fed, but also other global central bankers are easing significantly. And there's now talk of fiscal stimulus across various governments, whether it be Japan, and now there's talk about perhaps tax cuts here in the United States. So I do think that with the yield curve now having steepened, I do think there is an environment where perhaps, you know, some of the dynamics that have weighed on economic activity could actually reverse and result in stronger activity, stronger economic growth, which would lead to higher interest rates, which would, and a steepening of the yield curve, which would be very good for small cap stocks. And I think it'd be okay for equities generally.
Are there segments, you know, we talked about the broad market and value investing in general, but are there pockets of the market that for you right now, they're the sweet spot for small cap value?
As I said before, Chuck, the inefficiencies that have built in this marketplace and the volatility, which most investors can't see when they just look at the benchmarks on a high level basis, are off the charts. I have not ever seen this earnings season that we are just going through, the third quarter. I have never seen in my 25 years the type of volatility we're seeing at the individual security level, as companies are either punished or rewarded for good or bad results. So this is an incredible environment for active managers to put money to work.
Define that a little bit better. That's a remarkable statement. My audience, of course, doesn't necessarily know your background, but I'll put this delicately, Brad. You're not a rookie. You're an experienced. When you say that you have never seen the market punish stocks the way it does now for inefficiencies, I mean, can you give us an example? Can you show us what that means?
Let me just speak more generally, because what we're seeing is, I mean, companies, we're seeing stocks go up or down 20-30%. In both directions, based upon either good or bad news. Now, there are reasons for this. One is the level of valuation that the companies or the overall market is currently affording. But the bigger dynamic is corporate America has levered themselves to a level that we've probably never seen before. S&P 500 and the small caps are even worse. So we are seeing corporate leverage ratios, as measured by either debt to capital or debt to EBITDA. EBITDA is basically cash flows that allow you to pay for capex, interest, dividends, and any type of M&A you might want to do. And a lot of this debt that are on companies' balance sheets today has resulted from is the legacy of low interest rate environment for the last decade out of the financial crisis, and companies have used that largesse from the Fed to overpay for acquisitions because of the slow growth environment. And we're seeing, you know, there are a lot of companies that are significantly over-levered at this point. And that's what it goes back to, the strategy that we employ here. We're looking for undervalued small cap stocks. More often than not, they pay dividends. We love companies that generate strong cash flows and free cash flows. And we pray at the altar of strong balance sheets. We do not like a lot of leverage. So we try to manage volatility and risk in the portfolio by finding small cap stocks that have low debt. There are many companies in the small cap benchmarks and the larger cap, mid cap indexes as well, that have just way too much debt. And there's that's where that volatility comes in. Because leverage cuts both ways. Leverage can kill.
Really interesting stuff. I wish we had more time to discuss it, but the good news is I know you'll come back and chat with me about it again down the line. We'll see if these conditions continue. Brad Evans, thanks so much for joining me.
It's been a pleasure, Chuck. Thank you so much.
That's Brad Evans, everybody. He is portfolio manager for Heartland Value Plus. To learn more about his fund and the firm, go to heartlandfunds.com. They're on Twitter at Heartland Funds. Okay, we just hit the halfway, Paul, on the Monday, November 4th edition of Money Life. But up next,
danger, danger.
Sam McBride will be here from New Constructs, and yep, we're heading for the danger zone. He's got a stock that he's picked out that he thinks is maybe a lot less than you'd otherwise think if you're just looking at the balance sheet. And after that, it'll be market call time with Peter Tuz from Chase Investment Counsel. Stick around, we're living the money life, and we'll be back to it in just a moment.